This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now it's Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt with the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Well, hello there, Mr. Mike. How in the heck are you?
Well, I'm doing well, thank you.
All right.
So what's up with you, man?
Boy, I don't know.
You don't know, huh? I was thinking I'd just let you do the show today, and I'll run the board.
Okay, come on over.
That'd be like an elephant stomping through here. Well, I hope everybody is enjoying this beautiful summer that we're having, because it has not been too hot. Mm-hmm. And I think when I left my truck in the parking lot, it was like 72.
Yeah, that's what we
And I thought, whoa, that's so good. I mean, here it is, almost July, and it's only 72. Oh, I love it.
Well, just wait for a couple of weeks, and I'll bet you just bing.
Well, you know, where do they have all that rain? Was it in Iowa that flooded and went and just damaged this entire small town or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, somebody said 12 inches of rain or something. I'm not, amazing amount of rain.
Dam washed out?
Yeah. Part of the dam washed out.
Kind of looked like the old Winchester Dam from what I saw.
It probably was. Same builder.
1900s?
Yeah, way back, 1863. Well, welcome to the summer, such as it is. It's finally come and is very nice to us so far. I would like to see that happen the whole summer, and with a few nice rainstorms in between, just to kind of wet things down and keep the fire danger at a minimum. But, you know, we here in Oregon are really blessed with a moderate climate. You know, we get a few warm days, but not any hurricanes like the Midwest or the Deep South that destroy homes and landscapes and businesses and everything else. So we can be thankful on that respect, even though it gets a little hot and dry in July, August, and, you know, September. You know, you got to kind of put up with it.
That's our 2 days of summer.
2 days of summer? Okay. That's all right. That's all right. I'm no longer a lifeguard, so I don't have to worry about that. And, you know, that's good. But those big storms in the South and Midwest have destroyed landscapes. I mean, thousands of trees and shrubs and all that kind of stuff. And it has caused major structural damage as well. And many landscapes are beyond a quick fix. I mean, you're just going to start from scratch, and it's going to take a while to get it all back together. I'm glad that we don't have that type of storm hit us, and I hope those folks recover quickly, and they're pretty strong back in that part of the United States. So, you know, here's some things that I'm going to talk about designing our landscapes. You know, we need to be diligent in our plant selections, and I mean, we got to know what grows here, what does well here, and those kinds of things. We have to educate ourselves in that, and you know, many people select plants that are beautiful, you know, for their yard, but the question should be, how tough are these plants? I mean, will they survive a hot summer, or will they survive a 2 feet of snow in the winter? Occasionally we get those kinds of things. And will they, you know, just survive that extreme weather condition? I don't know if they could do the flood thing with the torrential rains and things like that.
I'm not sure anything could survive that.
No, that's a tough nut to crack, man. But can these plants that we see at the box stores survive 95 degree temps for days or weeks? You know, can they do that?
Sure.
You may think you're getting a great deal, but will they grow? I mean, you take them out of a nice shady spot, and they're well taken care of, and then you put them in your yard in the full sun, and then they're, you know, they go from hot to cold, or cold to hot, or
so
however.
Different story.
whole different story.
Yeah.
And your best bet is to do your homework and learn the extremes, you know, that a plant can survive in. Now, you know, I'm not talking about annuals and perennials and stuff like that are not expensive and can be replaced, you know, fairly easily and cheaply. But when you invest major dollars, you know, thousands of dollars in specimen plants, and you want them to look, you want them to live and even in extreme weather conditions, be that whether it's hot or cold, you want them to live. You want them to make it. And so you have to be very careful in your plant selection and be slow and real, educate yourself on what you want. So if you're doing your own landscape, do your homework first. There's a lot of homework that needs to be done. And when you're shopping for plants, you know, the best thing is to do is visit several established nurseries and compare plant prices and conditions and ask a whole lot of questions from the people that are there, like how hardy are these plants, how large will they grow, are they full sun or do they need part shade, or what type of soil is best. There's a lot of, you know, factors involved in plant success. You know, what do I need to add to my soil, like for best health and growth? Or how much water or fertilizer do they require on a daily basis, a weekly basis, or a monthly basis, you know? And it, of course, from like, say end of September to, you know, first part of June, they don't need a whole lot of those. I mean, some, but not a whole lot.
Mother Nature provides.
Mother Nature does a pretty good job that. Excuse me.
Now, don't get me to coughing.
I'm trying not to. But I've said this hundreds of times, too much water or fertilizer is going to kill plants quicker than the cold or the heat. And go ahead and try it. See what happens. Take a plant in your yard and water it every day and see how long it lasts. Uh-huh. You know, it, unless it's a water lily in a pond. So, you know, why invest your time and money without getting the proper info on plants before you make the investment?
Right.
It's that simple. Yeah. If you're a novice and don't know where to start, get a professional for a consultation on your landscape.
That would be you.
Yes, I do consultations since I've, retired and sold my business. Somehow people get my home phone and call me at the home.
Do they?
Yeah, they're crazy people. But usually it's just for a consultation, and consultations are fun. I mean, you show up, you walk around the yard with folks, you see what's right, what's wrong, what they did right so far or what they've done incorrectly so far. Ask a lot of questions like, you know, what's your ultimate look here?
Yeah.
And tell them about the plants. Say they have some older plants there. And they're crowded. They're too close. Whoever planted them originally planted them way too close when they were small. Mm-hmm. And you explain that stuff to the client, and say, here are your options. Like I was out in Glide week before last, and an older couple there lived up on South Bank Road, I guess it is. North Bank Road, excuse me, and they had a beautiful view of the Umpqua right below them.
Nice.
And they just a nice, you know, average type home and a few acres there. But way back when, they planted some rhodies along one side of the house. And the rhodies were, for the most part, healthy, but they were way too close together. Uh-huh. And, you know, I told them, well, this is what you need to do, this, and you need to do that, and kind of maybe take out every other one and plant.
Give them some space.
You know, yeah, transplant them and then prune the rest. And, you know, it's just go around, talk about the plant, talk about how it grows and what it needs, what are the basic needs, and how to prune it. And I said, well, you don't need a whole bunch of new plants if you just take care of what you have and do the right thing to them now. They're going to last forever. I mean, that's as simple as it gets.
Money well spent.
Yeah, it is. It is. And you you don't want to waste a whole bunch of or even invest a whole bunch of time and money without getting the proper info on the plants before you make the investment. So if there's no if you don't have to buy any more plants, you know, you're saving a whole bunch of bucks. You're just paying me for being there and talking to you.
No,
that's good.
That's all right.
I like that. It's fun. But if you're a novice and don't know where to start, that's when you got to get a professional for a consultation on your landscape. And in the 50 years of my profession as a landscape contractor and nursery owner, I have done hundreds of consultations and saved homeowners thousands of dollars in their landscape projects just by giving them good advice, because I know how plants grow.
And they keep coming back.
You're right. And I knew, you know, what it would do if you pruned it. I knew what it would do if you fertilized it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for a few hundred dollars, you know, I walked through their yards answering questions, and I've analyzed their soil, you know, check the soil, see what kind of soil it is. And look and see what type of drainage you have. Is it rock, or is it clay, or is it, you know, fairly good soil? And what's the sun and the heat exposure? And all that has an effect on the plant materials. Mm-hmm. And then I give them a ticket to success. And you know, it takes about 2 hours on an average, you know, plus a little bit of drive time.
Well, that's a good little chat.
Yeah, it is. And it's good for me, because I get out of the house.
Sure.
And I don't feel like I've been thrust into the the stratosphere of retirement.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something else.
Well, I was, but I changed my mind at the last second. Now, you know, then there's some folks, they have bare bones. I mean, there's nothing there except the house, brand new house or something like that. And they want a master plan with scaled drawings, and that takes, you know, a lot of hours. That's where the money comes in, to draw a landscape to scale. And like I say, it's a bigger investment, but they have a drawing that they can use, and I always leave a couple copies for them. And there's my phone number, and if you get stuck, call me. You know, that's not a problem. That's all part of the service. And that seems to be very, very helpful for a lot of folks.
Well, yeah, it would be something to fall back on.
Right, and I walk them through it, too. I take the plan, we walk around the yard and say, this is this area here, and this is what I propose for this, because it'll do A, B, and C. Everybody wants a low maintenance landscape.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and but everybody can't have juniper in the whole world. you got to have some color in your yard.
I'd probably be walking around taking notes of what you're saying.
Well, some people do.
Do they?
Oh yeah, yeah. Plus, you know, I'll write some notes too, and then give them the notes that I've written. Oh. Just key point reminder kinds of things, so that I see that, and that triggers.
What do you say about this one?
Yeah, right. What do you say, Bob? I don't know. Something about it was too big and too close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you want to take a break?
Sure, let's take a break. If you have some calls, call us 672-4464.
All right. We'll be right back on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty, we are back. Well, that was a quick break.
Yeah, what happened? It only lasted 12 seconds.
They didn't, yeah, it seemed like it. We were talking about Easter lily and stuff.
Well, during the break.
Not on the show. No.
I would not dare talk about Easter lilies after Easter.
No, not even after the landlord dug it up.
Oh gosh, yeah, I would not be impressed with that. We're talking about, you know, how to get your landscape going. If you got a master plan or if you got a consultation, you know, what do you do and how do you go about doing that? And with a master plan, you can take your time. Even if the project takes years to do, you've got the plan. It's always there in front of you. And you can moderate it a bit if you look at a plant and say, you know, I don't quite like that one. I think I'll get this one instead. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're not changing the whole concept of everything and the design part, good. Get it. Get something you like. Get something that, say, blooms 6 months a year or never blooms. You know, it just depends. You know, different folks have different thoughts about what their landscape should.
It's going to make you feel good.
Yeah. I mean, and that way, if you have something that's more to your liking, you're more apt to pay closer attention to the maintenance of it than if it's something like, you know, I hate that stupid juniper. I hope it dies.
I'll just pour bleach on it.
Yeah, pour bleach on that sucker. Yeah, I've done that. And I got a little bit of notes on that in here. But there's your master plan. And then it's all to scale. So if you can measure and add and subtract, you can run the plan. But, you know, it's all, like I say, the skill, but the client is free to add or subtract plants or change whatever suits their fancy. You know, it's okay. It's not this is the only way you have to do this. And they're asking me for ideas. They're asking me for concepts. They're asking me for design. What's going to look good in my yard? How's my yard going to be more shady? You know, let's say we're going to put half a dozen trees in a large yard or something and create shade, or just a few flowering trees like dogwoods or flowering cherries or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's you can change it around a little bit. But, you know, what's funny is on the master plans, because they're all drawn to scale, and I go out there and make the initial visit, measure the place, get all my square footage, and then take it back and say, well, in about a week, I'll call you, and I'll be back. And it's funny because I learned how to draw plans by mistake.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. See, I went to college out here at Umpqua to major in forestry.
Uh-huh.
And however, my first day, my first class found me in an engineering road design class. And I thought, what in the heck?
What turn did you make?
What did I do? I'm not going to be a road engineer. But that was part of the forestry curriculum, and I somehow missed that line. I don't know why. And I thought, what's going on? So I learned to print like a pro. I mean, Hal Ball was the instructor, and he put the ABCs in 1, 2, 3 up to 0, 9, 0, and say, this is how you print. Because, you know, computers weren't big at the time.
No.
And this is back in the 1420s.
And, Columbus Day.
Yeah, and so to draw a nice plan, you had to be able to print not only legibly, but almost, you know, super professionally, so it looked really great. Yeah. And that's where I learned that. So, you know, that.
Cool.
And I thought, what am I doing this for? But I did it because it was a class. Well, I didn't know that a few years later I was going to be a landscape contractor designing landscape plans.
Yeah.
And that came right in handy. It was like, whoa, this is cool. I'm glad I learned that. So I learned, like I say, I learned how to print like a pro.
Unlike the algebra I tried to learn in high school.
Oh, gosh, yes. But this led me to draw, like I say, very professional landscape plans, and the rest is history. So.
Yeah.
It was actually one of my best payoff classes in all of college. I mean, I got 2 degrees in forestry in 2 years. I mean, I was hustling, baby. I was married with children, and I didn't have time to party.
You wanted to get out there in them woods.
I wanted to get out there and get going and start my forestry career. So, but at any rate, what I want to stress is, if you're doing your own landscaping, do so sparingly. In other words, don't go to Joe Blow, whatever box store, and where they got all these plants, and just go buy a truckload and take them home, and then try to decide where you're going to put them.
Hope for the best.
Oh, gosh, I guess I got too many, or didn't get enough, or whatever like that. That's the purpose of planning. That's the purpose of designing. You wanna start out, like I say, if you don't get a master plan from a professional or a consultation like that, always start out small, and small I mean sparingly. Mm-hmm. Let's say you have an area that you think, well, this would be good along here if I had some azaleas or some rhododendrons or something like that. Don't get 10 rhododendrons and try to jam them into a 20-foot spot. You know, it ain't going to work. Initially, it might look okay because the plants are small,
right.
You know, and they're cute. But 3 years down the road, you're going, why did I put so stinking many rhododendrons?
Way too tight.
Way too tight in a straight line. They're ugly.
Yeah.
So that's one of the purposes of planting. It'll be cheaper, less expensive for your landscaping needs in the long run, and it'll be a whole lot better, a whole lot healthier.
Yep.
Healthy
yep.
is a big deal here, and you want these plant items well spaced for room to grow. I mean, to grow for a long time. For instance, if I was planting a row, I'm picking on roadies today because people overplant them mostly, if you do have a bed, I wouldn't put a rhododendron any closer than 7 or 8 feet apart.
Wow.
And if you stand back and say, well, gee whiz, that's kind of, you know, not very many. It's kind of skimpy. But in 5 years, it ain't going to be skimpy. In 5 years, it's going to look just right.
Kind of like all of us, we gain weight.
We do.
As we get mature.
Mature weight. I see how that works.
Notice I put it professionally.
Yes, that was good. You're a real smart guy. But though, like I say, those small, cute plants are going to grow in and fill in faster than you realize. And I picked on rhodies because, you know, they're a beautiful plant, and it's a shame to waste them. Some people do that with juniper or dwarf mugo pine or some of these other hedge-type plants mm-hmm. that grow fast and mm-hmm. get real full. Mm-hmm. And I'll put a whole pickup load in a small area, and then, like I say, 3 to 5 years later, they're taking half of them out because they're pushing a house over or something like that, or you can't get out of your car because the shrub's right there at your car door.
Get out of here.
Hey, I'm trying to open my door. Get back.
Now, the junipers, are they the kind of cedar-looking?
Yeah,
like?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now I know where that one came from.
Okay. People overuse juniper everywhere. You can't drive down a city block without seeing too many junipers planted in somebody's yard.
The neighbors across the road from me,
the
hedges is really popped up, and it's like that. And then I noticed there's one just outside of the sidewalk by out on my apartment there. Mm-hmm. Apparently a bird or something has blown a seed over because it's starting to grow too there.
Oh, right. Yeah.
It's right there by the water spout. So it's
and you know, when junipers are so thick, like the ground cover types, and ground cover anywhere that grows from, you know, 2 feet to 5 feet.
Yeah.
They're so thick and protective that birds and bugs and rats or whatever make homes in them because they're protected. They're sheltered from the cold, from the heat, from people, from dogs, you know. So you're happily pruning some of your juniper and this giant rat comes out at you. You know, it cause for alarm.
I probably should take that out before it gets any larger.
Well, it probably would, or prune it hard, prune 50% of it off.
It's eventually going to take that whole rain getter off.
Oh, yeah. And then you've got an expense you have to come up with.
Raise my rent again.
Yeah, but like I say, those small cute plants are going to grow a whole lot faster fuller than you actually realize, especially if you've never done it before. I mean, you're the first-time home buyer, you're energetic, you want your yard to look good and cool and all that, and that's good. That's all good stuff. But you don't have the experience of plant growth and seeing how mm-hmm. they actually grow, how it works, you know. So it's you don't want to fill up your areas just because you got some space. You don't want to just jam stuff in there just for the heck of it, because you're going
to... So you can.
Yeah, so you can, because you're going to have too many. You're going to spend too much money and too much labor putting them all in, then taking care of them, and then, you know, like I say, maybe 5 years down the line or 7 years down the line, you're taking 50% of it out and going, why did I do this?
The neighbors will get a chainsaw or something.
Yeah. I'm coming over to cut your trees down, Bob.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. Okay. And the same thing, like, against the fence. You know, you got a typical home, and there's a driveway, and usually a lot of times there's a fence on the right-hand side of the driveway or whatever with a small plant bed. Well, people want to kind of, you know, it might be a privacy fence, which is, say, six feet tall and solid wood, but you want to decorate it a little bit. So you buy these shrubs that are going to, you know, decorate it and soften the look. Well, that's great, but more times than I can count, there's too many of them in there. Yeah. And pretty soon I've seen where the shrubs grow so tough and quick that they push the fence over, so the fence is not straight up and down anymore. It's leaning into the neighbor's yard. And if it's the neighbor's fence, then he gets irritated.
What'd you do with those plants there, buddy?
Well, we got to take a break, my friend.
Okay, we shall return.
All right, what's our phone number?
673-4464, if you have a question.
All righty, we'll wait for you.
I hope.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty, we are back.
And if you have a question, 672-4464, ask your question. Well, I'll give you an answer. It'll probably be correct, too.
It will be.
I know. I can't help it.
That's why we like you.
Oh, gosh. I don't know. Maybe you're going to kick me off or something.
Nah.
But the bottom line, like I have been talking about, plant selection and spacing are important criteria to consider in your landscape if you're doing it yourself. You expect a professional, if they do your landscaping, to know that and act accordingly. And but, you know, on the other hand, if you're a pruner and stay on top of your maintenance, you'll be okay, too. For instance, if you have a planting... along your front walk, a planter that's like 2 feet wide, and do not plant any fast-growing plants like a juniper or something like that. In 3 years, you'll be pulling them out. Mm-hmm. Plant perennials or annuals or small dwarf-type plants. They're much easier to control and maintain, and they look very nice, and you won't have to worry about it. And I speak from experience. In my first house, I had a small area to plant next to my driveway, and I had an older house up on Leland Street and stuff. But this planter, I actually made the little planter, killed all the weeds and tore up the ground. It was about 8 feet long, maybe 3 feet wide, and I thought, I'll get some plants in there.
Yeah.
And this is way before my professional landscape days. Well, I thought some Tam junipers would look good. They're tough, and they need... little or no care. Yeah, good. And besides that, Payless had them on sale for 49 cents a piece.
Wow.
I mean, this is the old days, man. 49 cents a piece, all the Tams you can take. What a great deal. So I bought four of them and planted them. Now, this planter is about 8 feet long, right?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe 2-4 feet wide, something like that.
Yeah.
So I bought four of them, and I thought, well, that's good. And I put them about, 2 feet from the driveway and 2 feet apart, looking good. It was easy to do. I watered them, took care of them. They were growing like dynamos, I'll tell you what.
Wow.
And well, in 3 years, they were growing into my driveway.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm. I didn't prune them, and that fall, I pulled those 49-cent juniper out with a chainsaw in my pickup
because
they had grown so big. They had trunks that were 2 inches in diameter, for crying out loud.
Should have called Payless and told him to come and get them.
Yeah, come get your plants back. but that was a valuable lesson on plant growth next to a driveway.
Yes.
Or any kind of structure, fence, house, whatever.
Yeah.
But like I say, at the time I was not a landscape contractor. I knew about plants and I knew how to plant, and I'd been doing it all my life. But I should have still known better.
I didn't think about it.
Yeah, well, it's 8 feet long. I'm four of these juniper rims.
Yeah.
All those stupid tams that grow like dynamite, man. In 2 years, I thought, what the heck is going on here? So. You don't want to have to do that kind of stuff.
So what'd you do? Did you?
I yarded them out.
Yeah.
And I think I put some smaller stuff in there.
Oh.
But that's all.
I was thinking maybe you kept some of them.
No, I didn't keep. They were not keepable.
Oh, I get
when
it.
I got done yarding them out with a chain, I took
kinda
them
like
to
my poor Easter lily.
Right. I took them to the dump. Okay. Back in the day when it was called the dump.
And it was free.
And you just drove up there and there was a big old log and you backed up to the log and dumped it in the hole.
What if they started growing up there?
Oh, they probably have. They probably have taken it over. Oh, golly. But prior to doing your own planting, drive around town and look at the mature landscapes to see how large plants can actually grow. You know, you think, well, that's a such and such a plant. I didn't know it could get that big.
Whoa.
So that's the kind of thing you want to have knowledge of prior to you buying something like that and sticking up it against your house or something or a fence.
Yeah.
Yep. Or right where you park your car. And
that's always fun.
Oh, I know. But I could show you at least 100 examples within a short drive of your home how that looks. And you can drive down any neighborhood in Roseburg and see where people landscaped their own yard X amount of years ago, and you can see where the plants are just, you know, way overgrown. Mm-hmm. And when they're way overgrown, they're not healthy because there's bugs, there's spiders, there's rats, there's molds, there's snakes, you know, all that kind of stuff living there. But you just have to know what you're doing. And mature landscapes will tell you that. And like I said, I could show you 100 examples within a short drive of your home. But when you buy the plants, when you go to buy the plants, go slow and just get a few to start. When you plant them, give them a lot of space and monitor their growth. In other words, pay attention to how fast they're growing and before you're adding any additional plants. And do your research. Ask questions. Look around your neighborhood again. Who has a nice, easy-to-maintain yard? I mean, there's Joe Schmo down the road, and his yard always looks good.
Good, yeah.
Well, you know, and then you kind of might recall that when he did that, you know, 7 years ago, the plants looked a little small, and you thought, that's all he did? Yeah, well, he knew how those plants were going to grow.
Yeah.
You know, some of the things that I've seen you know, you get a Japanese maple.
Yeah.
You know, one of them small lace leaf, you know, purplish that only get about 4 or 5 feet in maturity. But they'll spread, the spread, you know, maybe 6 feet from leaf tip to leaf tip.
Mm.
And, you know, when somebody buys that, they're small. Mm-hmm. They look good. They're expensive, so they buy. They're pretty small, and you put them in, and they usually put them in not always, but a lot of times, like at the where the sidewalk and the driveway begin, and they put a small planter there, and then the small planter might be, you know, 5 feet around, and they make a little mound and they put it in there. So it's about 2.5 feet off the driveway, 2.5 feet off the lawn or the sidewalk. Well. Down the road, about, 3 to 5 years, that thing's hanging in the driveway. It's hanging out on the sidewalk. And some nasty kid can come by and smash it with his bike if he wants to, or just cut it with his knife. or you kind of damage the branches when you back out.
Right. Yeah.
Or your neighbor comes over and, oh man, I'm sorry about your Japanese maple. So you gotta know how these things are gonna grow. Even if it's a slow grower, mm-hmm. give it a lot of room, because if you give it a lot of room and it's the centerpiece of like the front yard or something like that, you can always put small ground covers or annuals or perennials or something like that around the base, and you know, each spring and decorate it up, and then in time as it's growing, you don't need to do that yeah. anymore, and because the plant has filled mm-hmm. that area. I've got some at home now. Oh gosh, I don't know how many years they've been in, maybe 15 years or something like that. Mm. And they were a small lace leaf maple. But now from the branch tip to the branch tip is probably 7-8 feet. Wow. That's how wide they are. They're only about, 5 feet tall maybe. But the width is what you're looking at.
Wider than they're tall.
Oh, yeah, much. And they're magnificent trees. They're gorgeous trees. And but they've got the room to grow. They've got the room that you don't have to butcher them and prune them every other year or something like that.
Sure.
And, that's why I say is you got to educate yourself, like, how do these plants grow? And when you go, well, I recommend that you go to a real nursery where people have knowledge and
yeah.
the experience, and they actually grow these creatures. Plant warehouse up there on whatever, what's that, Valley Drive or up by son of a gun.
Laurelwood?
No. No. Across from Walmart area.
Oh, yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Danny, he grows really nice plants, and he always has a fine selection. And the people that work there are very knowledgeable. So if you ask them questions and say, well, how large is this going to get, and how fast will it grow, and what do I water it with, or fertilizer, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
So you've got some basic information to work with initially. And so when you do plant it, you plant it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
You water it correctly and fertilize it correctly. And and I'm going to stick with Japanese maples here.
Okay.
You can kill a Japanese maple quicker by overwatering than leaving it alone. And you can always tell you overwater, the indicator of overwater is when the leaf tips on the very ends of the branches start to brown up and curl up.
Mm.
When that happens, some people go, wow, what's going on with my Japanese maple?
It looks sick.
It looks exactly. And so what they'll do is bring the hose out and pump more water in. A lot of folks, that could be because they don't know.
Yeah.
They don't know. They don't have the experience that is necessary to, and wherever they bought it, when we were running Wintergreen, and I would be there occasionally during the day, not on landscape jobs, but somebody comes in and they're walking around, they want to buy this, and we're talking, and I always stress, do not, do this. This is how the type of soil you use. This is this. Blah 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 blah. And they'll say, well, we put fertilizer in the hole. No fertilizer. Leave it alone. Just plant it. Let it rest for a while. And water it good the first day, and then wait a couple of weeks before you water it again. And they say, well, is that enough? I said, trust me. And if you don't trust me, dig down beside the plant.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, go ahead and do it.
And see how damp it is. If it's damp, it's okay. Leave it alone. And as long as you do that, you're fine. There are Japanese maples I've had in my yard. I don't think I've watered them in 20 years, but probably 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah, that are in the ground mm-hmm. in full sun, and they're looking great. And once in a while, if you drag the hose up toward the garden, they might get a squirt, but that's about it. And
what Mother Nature provides.
Right. Right. And, of course, when I planted them, I put, good soil in the holes, made an oversized hole, good soil in the holes, so that if, in fact, you did give it too much water, there was a place for it to drain.
Oh,
and
sure.
that's very, very important. So don't spend a bundle on a whole bunch of plants and not know how to take care of them. That's the vital piece of your home landscape. It's very, very important. water, fertilizer, pruning, blah, 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 blah. And if you overdo any of those chores, your plants are going to struggle or even die. And for instance, you shouldn't plant juniper next to petunias or geraniums, Water for flowers isn't the same as for junipers. They're two different
species.
Dudes living on the same planet, They don't need it. You want to plant things that are compatible. And that takes, again, a little bit of research and self-education, if you will, so that you know what's best. We got a break?
Yeah, we do.
Okay, we shall return.
Last one for the day, and the phone number once again.
673-4464.
Hey, that's us. News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Did I say 673? I meant to say 672.
What is it? You said three.
What is it? 672 or 673?
Two, I think. We'll check on that. We'll get back to you.
Yeah, if you don't get us, try it again.
Do it.
Keep doing it.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Well, the mystery has been solved, Mike, or our phone number.
Yeah, I had the wrong phone number now. What's wrong with me? Oh, well, 673-4464.
There we go. We had to check out to the front office.
I had one number wrong, and only given that number out, how many times over the last 100 years?
Quite a few. It's kind of like playing the lottery.
Yeah. If I would have played the lottery, I would have lost.
Me too.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I've been talking about plant care and home landscaping and how to do a good job without really trying and give you some hints on how to go about your process. And, just remember those three critical chores of water, fertilizer, and pruning are very, very important. And if you overdo any of these chores, your plants will struggle or, like I say, even die. In other words, you shouldn't plant juniper next to petunias and geraniums. They don't have the same needs, and so consequently, one will live and the other will die. Like water for flowers isn't the same as water for junipers. So if you plant them together, just make, we got a call?
We got a phone call.
Oh, good.
Get the right number out and somebody will call.
I guess.
Hey, good afternoon. You're on the air with Mike Winters.
I don't want to grow something. I want to get rid of something. Blackberries and ivy.
Yeah.
Is there something I can use that will not damage the neighborhood?
Yeah, so are they pretty much confined to your own property?
Right now, yes, but yeah. They're traveling fast.
Yeah. Well, Crossbow works, and so does Roundup, and there's a few other chemicals that are a little bit stronger, and they will work, and it'll take several sprayings to knock them all dead. But when they're dead, then you can pull up the roots because they're dead all the way down into the root systems. And or you get in there with a D9 cat and you do the work on them, which is,
I consider that, but I don't really have a room for the cat.
I know, I know. But you have a real large area like that?
Well, it's about 3/4 around the house.
Uh-huh.
And it hasn't been taken care of for several years, so.
Okay.
I have blackberries that are probably 10, 12 feet tall.
Well, you have a healthy patch.
Yes, indeed.
Start a blackberry stand.
The ivy has taken over a shed and covered it entirely, yard shed.
Oh, gosh.
Shed comes down, too.
Yeah. Well, the best way to do that is to get some young bucks in there with, heavy-duty weed-eater-type machinery or chainsaws or whatever and cut them down to the ground and then have them all hauled away. And then that doesn't kill them, but it sets them back. But what happens is they start to sprout new leaves, and that's when you really spray them good. And when they're sprouting their brand new leaves and they're only 6 inches tall, you spray them a couple of times, and that's going to really kill them. And then you just keep your eye on it, and there's going to be a stray one that popped up once in a while. So go ahead and have a jug of spray ready to go. If you see it, get it.
What method of spraying are we talking about?
Well, you can do a backpack sprayer or a hose end sprayer, you know, something that goes right on the end of your hose. That's the easiest.
Mm-hmm.
And you just pour the Roundup straight into the sprayer itself, hook it to the hose, turn it on, and it mixes automatically.
Okay, that might work. Yeah.
And it's the easiest.
Is there a cloth covering?
Is
that
there,
can be put over?
Well, yeah, yeah. Once it's dead, you can get some heavy duty black tarp type. I wouldn't use plastic because plastic only lasts a few years and then it cracks. And if there's any resistance from the plant, it'll crack up through there. But if you use a black ground cloth, it's strong enough to subdue any initial growth.
Okay, we'll give that a shot then.
Good.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, thank you for the call. I appreciate that.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. All right. That's amazing.
Well, I'm glad we had a call. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that very much. I don't know, maybe nobody had their radio on today or something.
No, yeah.
Yeah, they thought, well, hey, where is he? So how much time we got here?
Oh, about 1 minute and 20 seconds.
1 minute and 20 seconds. Well, you know.
Blast off.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was talking about the fertilization of your petunias and your geraniums and the water and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Like I said, it's not the same as junipers. You want to plant things that are compatible. Remember, a little bit of plant food goes a long way. Also, triple 16 pasture fertilizer doesn't work with rhododendrons. Some people say, it's on sale. It's only $10 for 100 pounds. Yeah, well, it's not going to help your rhododendrons at all. In the 50 years as a nursery owner and landscape contractor, I've made more mistakes than most people can imagine. However, I learned great lessons along the way, mainly less is better than more. Be conservative and you'll do a better job because you can always add more a little bit later. But once you put too much on something and it gets somewhere else, it causes more long-term damage than you would hope that it would do.
It's like putting salt on something too much.
Yeah, yeah. It's
you can't reverse.
Yeah, I know. It's better to go light. And like I say, I know conservative is a nasty word these days, but it's what you have to do is be light, and you can always add more. Okay. Thanks for listening. I hope you learned something, and I enjoyed the show.
Thank you. You'll be back next week, Art.
I hope so.
All right. Sounds good. 673-4464. Jot that down in case we forget.
I wrote it down. I only got a ream of these. I keep all my notes, you know. And I got the right phone number on every one of them, but today.
It's 5 o'clock.
Bye-bye.